One of our community partners here in Jacksonville and Northeast Florida, First Coast Crime Stoppers, we've had a chance to get to know Chase Robinson for the last, several months now. And the work that y'all are doing in partnership with local law enforcement, Chase, means so much because it's illuminating cases that have gone cold over the course of multiple months or years. And obviously, as we're approaching the holidays, there are families of victims out there who have lost loved ones who still don't have answers. Does that, in some ways, maybe change the dynamic for you, add a little more pressure, a little more oomph to try to illuminate cases because we're in that season where so many families are looking for answers?
It does, and I think it's really important that we keep these individuals' names in the community and we make sure that the community has something to reflect back on, that they can really take this time if they're with family, if they're with members of the community, to think back on these cold cases and any information that they might have. You know, it might be years that they haven't actually sat down and been like, oh, wait, maybe I was in the area, or maybe I did have a conversation with someone. It just really allows the community to just have a moment to see if they can help out each other and see if there's any other information that they can provide to Crime Stoppers to hopefully allow detectives to have a lead in a case.
Do you find that by illuminating and bringing back in the attack, and then obviously the financial incentive, that is at least getting some whiskers of evidence coming up?
It is. I mean, you know, a cash reward up to $3,000 right around Christmas does bring around more tips than usual this time of year. And I think just making sure that people in the community can get that $3,000 and that it is eligible for them if they come forward with information that leads to an arrest of someone.
Are there dynamics that make a case truly cold? I mean, is it just length of time?
Length of time and also the number of leads, or if there are any leads in a case. And I think that's where Crime Stoppers can really help, is really incentivizing the public, getting hands-on with members of the community to really allow them to see that, hey, you know, there's not a lot of information out there about a specific case, but they can be that breakthrough, they can be that key that allow detectives to really start investigating the case again, you know, make it not cold anymore.
And I think the important thing for anyone who doesn't follow this on a daily basis or is maybe new to the community is First Coast Crime Stoppers is not Jacksonville. It's all of Northeast Florida. And one of the things that you've partnered with us today to bring in a detective from Green Cove Springs in order to illuminate a case that just actually had another year go by from the time that this happened. Melinda Holder, who had passed when the discovery was her suspicious death on December 10th of 1989, long, long time ago. And so as we just marked that, Detective Milliken with the Green Cove Springs Police Department is with us live in studio as well. And man, every year that goes by for this family, I would imagine, is just a nightmare, not knowing anything. As another year has gone by, where is the case right now, big picture?
Big picture, we're making progress. And that's the only thing that we can ask for. Any progress is progress in a cold case, especially one that's 35 years old. So,
what were the elements of Ms. Holder's death that, as you knew them from 1989, what do we know so far about the background on this?
We know that her body was found in an abandoned home. We know that accelerants were used, so the fire that was set was on purpose. And we know that where her remains were located within the home was where the fire had initially started. So going from there, that's what we know so far, is that the house was set on fire and that the circumstances around her death are suspicious.
How did the case go cold, and can cases like these go cold on multiple iterations as time goes by? What I mean by that, I guess, is like a lead may fizzle out, for example, and so it may feel like it's heating up and then it goes cold again.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's happened over the span of 35 years. I mean, we're looking at a case that happened in the 80s. Times were different back then. Technology was different back then. Science was different back then, too. I mean, we're looking at 30 years later, we're finally able to identify her with mitochondrial DNA. Who would have thought 30 years from 1989 that mitochondrial DNA could solve, or well, not necessarily solve the case, but help us identify the person that was found?
As 35 years have now gone
35
by.
35 years.
35 years have gone by. You're talking about generational change within law enforcement. I'm going to guess you weren't a detective with Green Cove
Springs. I wasn't even born yet.
Exactly. So, like, as one goes to the next, how are you all trading the information about a case? And as you're picking it up, what have you learned about it that you can now move? Align technology and also your new skill set and today's light that we can shine on a case in order to maybe bring it to an end?
Well, I will say as far as like science and science is involved, I mean, we were looking at remains that were severely burned in a fire. So science may have reached its end helping us. Now it's really focusing on the help from the community as to finding out what happened inside that house. Why was she found inside that house? So that's really where Chase has come in to help us in First Coast Crime Stoppers. And we're trying to get it out in the community. We want her name to be heard. We want her picture to be seen. She is not forgotten. And we want to really just stir the pot. We want to get her name out there and get people talking.
So two questions. What causes the pot to be stirred for any cold case? Mm-hmm. So why all of a sudden, I'm assuming there are boxes and files of evidence for lots of cold cases. What makes a case get resurrected? I'll ask you that question and then I'll follow up with Chase.
Sure. I mean, for us as law enforcement, it's the not necessarily the reopening of the case. For me, I'm a younger detective and I am gung-ho on this case. I want her family to have some type of justice, and it's a new set of eyes. Like you had stated earlier, law enforcement has changed in the way that we handle some types of cases. So I'm bringing my new skill set towards that and putting her picture out there, using the media like Chase uses the media. We want her picture to be seen. And when people see her picture, she becomes relevant again. She should have never, ever became irrelevant, but she did 35 years. I mean, that's a long time. That's understandable. But now my community that I serve sees her picture. They hear her name. They know that we are trying to seek justice.
And it's personal.
Yes.
And we bemoan social media, but that is indeed one of the things that we're using now to our advantage. So, Chase, what can the public do at this point to help make this case not cold anymore?
Well, I think the first thing to realize is, I mean, this case took place back in 1989, right? Crime Stoppers has been in Jacksonville and the First Coast since 2002. So Crime Stoppers wasn't here when a crime happened in 1989. So really making the public aware that if they have any information regarding the suspicious death of Melinda Holder, to reach out to Crime Stoppers. I know that might not have been a resource back in 1989, but we are offering a cash reward up to $3,000 for anyone that has information that would lead to the arrest of someone in this case. And I really implore the community to really, while they're sitting with family, maybe around fireplaces, we enjoy this cooler weather, to just think about the impact that this would have on the Holder family, and that if you have any information that you're maybe hesitant to share with law enforcement, come to Crime Stoppers. We'll guarantee your anonymity, and we'll make sure that you know, no one in the community will find out who you are, and that information could land you a cash reward up to $3,000.
I think an important point with all of this, and again, this would be if you're a listener and don't know the area that well yet or new to town. Green Cove Springs is a small community, and it's a tight-knit community. It's a great community that I love to travel through, and as we're headed into Stark, for example, or down 301, you're going to go through Green Cove Springs. People are going through to see all the Christmas trees that went up, before Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
So people know people in Green Cove Springs, and also, you don't have a murder every year. You don't have 50 murders every year. You probably haven't in the history of Green Cove Springs. It is a small enough town that this doesn't happen that often. And so people can talk and do know things.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why we're really pushing it out there with First Coast Crime Stoppers and all of our social media pages, is because somebody somewhere knows something that will bring light to this case. And that's indisputable. That's a fact. Somebody within the community knows what happened to Melinda Holder. And that's what I want to know, is what happened to Melinda Holder. That's what her five kids want to know, is what happened to Melinda Holder. So that's why we're getting her name out there.
And it's possible that somebody knows something and that they don't even know they know something, i.e. somebody has moved into a house and they found something that they can't explain. And, you know, they just kind of shoved it off. Oh, we found this old thing in the house.
Right.
You know, call police and say, hey, I found this thing. I don't know quite what it is, but just take a look at it. That's not a waste of time, right?
100%. It's not a waste of time. I mean, the smallest things, people may think that they don't mean anything, and it could break open my case. A small ripple can cause a tidal wave. Mm. And that's really just what we're asking from the community. A small thing that you may just think it's irrelevant could be 100% relevant. Mm-hmm.
So as you're illuminating this case in the media, are you getting information? Are you already starting to get tips? Where are you at, basically, in the investigation?
Yeah, I mean, the the days after our television interviews and everything, we definitely had some tips rolling in. Of course, we're jumping on those. So, it, like I said earlier, this case is moving forward. And that's all I can really ask for. And I kind of want to touch on what Chase said. Mm-hmm. Like, we're into the holiday season. And all of us get to spend time with our families. And you have five people that don't get to spend time with their mom. I mean, this is a very personal thing. And I've said it in my television interviews, and I've spoke with Chase about it. Like, I can't fathom a world where my mom doesn't exist. And she missed everything. She missed my high school graduation, my prom. Like, these kids had to go through their life with their mom missing everything. And this holiday season, while we're able to be with our moms, they're not.
And they have no closure. They don't even know what happened.
Right.
You can't see it through the radio right now, but this is personal. This is personal for Detective Milliken. I can see it in your eye. This is a personal thing for you. It's personal to the investigation, obviously. So how can someone reach out to you and First Coast Crime Stoppers?
Sure. I mean, anybody can call the Green Cove Springs Police Department. And just like with First Coast Crime Stoppers, you can remain anonymous. We don't need to know who you are. We don't need to know where you live. But if you have information, we need to know it. So call. You can call First Coast Crime Stoppers. You can call Star Star Tips. You can go on their app. Mm-hmm. You can call the Green Cove Springs Police Department. You can email me at my Green Cove Springs Police Department email. Or just go to local law enforcement. If you aren't local in Green Cove, maybe you moved out of the city. Call local law enforcement. Just contact somebody.
What's the best way to contact First Coast Crime Stoppers?
So as Detective Milliken mentioned, just pull out your smart device, dial star star tips. It's easy to remember. You can also call our 24/7 toll-free line at 1-866-845-TIPS. Or if you're more of a website or digital person, you can go to www.fccrimestoppers.com or download our P3 Tips app directly to your smart device. So no matter how you use technology, we have a method for you to get information to us.
And Chase, just talk about very quickly how you go about making certain that someone's anonymous. When you and I had spoken before, you said, you know, sometimes people are anonymous, but then they tell us some little thing about themselves, like, hey, my neighbor's house, how you guys eliminate that information.
So yeah, that's an important aspect of our organization. And over the 22 years, almost 23 years now that we've been in Jackson, we've never compromised the identity of a tipster. And all of our tip submission methods, whether it be via the phone line, our website, our app, it's all encrypted information. We use cloud-based technology, SSL certificates, everything that we can do to maintain the security of the information. We make sure that we have up-to-date and that we're using consistently. And we even protect the tipsters from themselves. So like you mentioned, if someone in their tip said, you know, my neighbor is doing this or my neighbor is doing that, well, you just indirectly identified yourself, right? Because you are now the neighbor to that location. So our tips coordinator will actually go into each tip and she does what she calls her sanitization. And she reads through it and will actually remove indirect identifiers like that and put just, you know, this address on this street rather than my neighbor. So not only do we actually protect the submission of the information, we actually are protecting the tipsters from themselves. So it truly is anonymous. There's no catch. And we really implore people to take that into consideration when they are thinking about information regarding the Holder case.
Gosh, I'm so glad you said that because it's really vital for any investigation, any open case, even an active case that's not gone cold. Really important and vital information. Chase Robinson with First Coast Crime Stoppers. Appreciate it. And Detective Milliken, let's get you and this family of Melinda Holder some closure.
Yes.
So let's get some tips rolling in over the coming days and over the holiday break. Thank you both for coming in studio. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you very much.
At 8:22.